Good evening. My name is Sue S. I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, practicing the OA program one day at a time to the best of my ability. To get the statistics out of the way, I came back from a horrible relapse in November of 2010 at the weight of 340 pounds. My current weight is 255 pounds, so obviously I have not yet achieved an 100-pound weight loss, but I am still working on my weight loss. I do practice this principle. I got abstinent in January of 2014, and I do work on my program with my food plan one day at a time, and I'll talk more about my food plan and my abstinence as I tell my story. As I said, I'm a relapse survivor. I try not to go too much into my past. I really truly believe that what happened to me as a child no longer affects, not that it doesn't affect my life, that my parents did the best they could with what they had, and that I'm a big girl now, and I decided several years ago now, that I'm a big girl now, that I am responsible for my life the way it is, that the past is the past, and that I am now responsible for my life as an adult. I've had a lot of therapy. Therapy is a huge part of getting outside help, is a huge part of my getting emotionally fit. And some of us do need outside services. Some of us don't, but I did. The fact that I might have been sexually abused, the fact that that there were problems and difficulties in my home life made me who I am, which basically is a survivor. Both my parents passed away by the time I was 25. My mother worked full-time nights at a time when most mothers did not work. And so I became an adult very quickly at a very young age. So I've always been responsible. My therapist said I didn't have much of a childhood, and that's probably true. And that's okay, because I am an adult. And I am responsible for the actions and the decisions that I make today. And I'm now 70 years old. I turned 70 on my last birthday in February. And it is astounding that I lived to be 70, because left to my own devices, I would have died like my parents very young. If I really look down at myself, I am a hardcore addict. I could easily be multi-addicted, but food is my first choice. It's the first one I picked up as a child, and it is the last one that I put down. I have no problem putting down the other substances. Food was the hardest one for me to put down. Food was the one I picked up as a child. I remember at the age of 3 or 4 when my grandmother passed away in our house. We were sent to the neighbor's house, and I remember what we had for dinner that night. Food was always important in my life. Food was my friend. Food was my companion. I was never a great dieter. I'd stick to a diet for about a week, and then I'd have some kind of ism or sore throat, or I wouldn't feel good, and I'd blame it on the diet. And after a week or 10 days, I'd go off the diet again and go back to the way I used to eat. I didn't like being on a diet. I liked the foods I ate, and dieting just made me feel weird. The fact that I kept getting bigger didn't really bother me. It bothered everybody else. It bothered my doctors. It bothered my mother. It bothered my sister. It really didn't bother me. However, it was not healthy. It was not good for me, but I was never a good judge of what was good for me. I came into Overeaters Anonymous, as I said, in the I'm a relapse survivor. I originally came into Overeaters Anonymous through the liquid program. Told I had to go to through a, how shall I put this? Well, I was told I needed to go to AA after I had spent some time in a drug and alcohol rehab, which I was not remanded to, but encouraged to go to, lest I be forced to go to, because I was suicidal. That's the long and short of it. I was suicidal from the time I was 16, and when I got to be in my 30s, I picked up suicidality again. And after three stints in the psych ward, they told me that if I didn't go to the drug and alcohol rehab, they suggested to me that I would probably be sent there anyhow, and this time would be against my advice. So after spending time in the drug and alcohol rehab, they told me I should go to AA meetings, and I didn't know what else to do because I didn't know how to live outside the walls of a psychiatric institution. So I came to AA, and nobody talked about the fact that I was overweight, but I didn't feel like I fit in at AA, and I went there for 7 years, tried to fit in, tried to get to know the people, but I had no problem putting down the alcohol. I never did. Then they started talking about OA, and I said, well, maybe I should try OA. And I went to my first OA meeting, and the first OA meeting was not the best, the best way you would like to find the program, because I went to my first meeting, and there were two people there, and nobody had the key to the church, because back then it was all face-to-face. But unfortunately, the woman who was there said she knew that there was supposed to be another meeting, so we went there. There was nobody there either, but I knew enough about 12-step programs to know it only took two people to make a meeting, and between the two of us, we had a beginner's meeting. And when I heard the readings, I knew that I belonged there, and she told me to come back the next night, and there really would be a beginner's meeting, and there had to be 50 to 75 people in the room. The room was full. And I got involved with a group of women, mostly women, there were a few men, and we used to go to the same meetings. We'd go from meeting to meeting to meeting, from one meeting to another, and I got involved. I did service almost right away to help me fit in. I followed the food plan. It was a commercial food plan. I got a sponsor. I gave away my food every night. I did the things they told me to do because I was desperate. Not so much because of the weight, because again, weight had never been my problem, but because I was afraid of my sanity. And I had no place else to go. And little by slowly, not only did the weight come off, some of the sanity got better. I stuck around for 4 years, and then I got tired of doing all the weight work. I lost the 100 pounds, because at that time I only needed to lose about 100 pounds. And but my head didn't change. My head didn't go smaller with the body. My head didn't match it, I think. But after doing it for about 4 years, I got tired of doing all the work. I got lazy. I guess I was resting on my laurels. And I suppose I had not enlarged my spiritual condition the first time around, looking back. And I stopped going through I stopped doing as much service. I stopped attending so many meetings. And eventually I found myself just outside the room, to myself that I had a program, I had a fellowship, because I had made friends, I had a food plan, and I would just do it on my own without going to so many meetings and without doing so much work. And eventually, I started to eat some of the stuff that I hadn't eaten in 4 years. And eventually, I went back to all my old eating habits, and 7 years later, having gained back not just the 100 pounds I lost, but 60 pounds on top of that, I couldn't walk around the block without severe chest pain and shortness of breath and back pain. I couldn't walk around the block. I had to go halfway around the block, stop and rest, and then walk the other half around the block. I had sleep apnea. I had diastasis in my legs and other assorted medical conditions. And so I was in bad shape again. And I was also, once again, pretty depressed. And I had just lost my job because I just yelled at my boss and cried hysterically on the phone when she told me she was going to add more work to my workload, which I wasn't handling at all, as it was at its current state. So I went back to a psychiatric day treatment program, and I started going back to OA meetings as a goal in the psychiatric day treatment program. And I had tried to go back to OA a couple of times, but I always went to meetings where I didn't know people, meetings that were outside my range. And again, this was pre-pandemic, so everything was face-to-face that I knew. And when I had my break and I went back this time in November of 2014, I went to a meeting where I knew people, because I had met somebody and an acquaintance that my husband knew, and we had met, and she said, come back to this meeting. It was in Franklin Square, New York. And I went back there where people knew me, and I felt shame at what I had done to myself. And they were so happy to see me. They welcomed me with open arms. And they said, welcome back. Not how horrible it was that I had done what I had done. They said, welcome back. Where have you been? We've missed you. And I went home and I said, okay, now what are you going to do? So I started going back to meetings again. I tried to give away my food again. I got myself a sponsor. And this sponsor was very spiritual. And I tried to get abstinent. Abstinence was harder this time. I couldn't get it. I really tried and I couldn't get it. Finally, in January 2014, some of it started to sink in. And one of the things that sunk in was a reading from the Big Book. And it's from the story on acceptance, and it's before the paragraph that everybody knows. And he said to himself, the narrator, was the person writing the story, he said, and I said to myself, okay, God, so it is true that I, of sorts, am an alcoholic. And now what am I going to do about it? And when I stopped living in the problem, I started living in the solution, the problem went away. And I stopped living in the problem and admitted to myself that I was deep down a compulsive overeater. And the problem went away. And I all of a sudden didn't have the urge to compulsively overeat anymore. And I became abstinent. And I got long-term abstinent. And I started losing weight again. Now, it would be wonderful if I could tell you that was a Cinderella story. My abstinence is not perfect. I've become older. I've become wiser. I cannot stick to a strict food plan like I could. I also learned that I needed to do a program where I could forgive myself if my program wasn't perfect. Okay. I didn't die if my program wasn't perfect, if I ate a little bit more. It was better than it had been before, even if it wasn't perfect. And I still lost weight. So I do the best I can, one day at a time, to follow my food plan. And I am not a sugar addict per se, because I can have sugar and not have to have more. So that is my own personal story. This is me. So I can have a treat.
5-minute reminder.
Thanks. But this time, instead of just skirting around the steps, I also went through all 12 steps, and I found a power greater than myself. And I found when I went through my fourth step that I really was a control freak. And I never really believed that before because I thought I was the easiest person to get along with. And I realized that I was trying to control everybody in my life. And when I learned to let go of the people in my life became easier. I learned to accept things, life on life's terms. How do you do that? You just do it. It's okay. God has a plan for me. And things will work out the way they're supposed to. Isn't that a novel idea? I don't have to be in charge. I don't have to know the answer. And if I make a mistake, I'm not a mistake. It's okay. I can make mistakes. I used to think I had to know everything. I don't have to know everything. God knows everything. If I need to know the words, God will give them to me. And as I'm getting older, I'm forgetting more and more of the words, and it's okay. God gives them to me when I need them. My sister passed away a couple years ago, my baby sister. I was able to be there for my baby sister. I was able to call the hospice helpline at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, I can't do this. I can't sit with her. She won't let me help her. She won't let me give her medicines. I could ask for help. I didn't have to eat. I could do things I never thought I could do without eating over them. It's a miracle. I'm a miracle. I'm a miracle in progress, one day at a time. And it's all due to Overeaters Anonymous. One day at a time. I'll never leave OA. That's why I do so much service, because I'm very afraid that if people don't step up and do service, Overeaters Anonymous will not continue to exist. If people don't step up to do service, we won't have meetings. I won't have meetings to go to. What would happen if we don't have meetings? People have to do service so that we can have meetings. This is an all-volunteer organization. Nobody gets paid for it. People have to step up to do service so that we can have meetings. It's that simple. And it drives me crazy when we can't get people to read the steps because nobody wants to do service. I guess I'm running out of time. I don't know what else to say. I practice the program one day at a time. I do the best I can with my food plan, and I'll lose my weight in God's time. And I'm 70 years old now, so it's not as important as it was when I was 50. If you want to call or text, my phone number is 516-721-0816. Again, that's 516-721-0816. You can call, text, or if you're international, I do have WhatsApp. And thank you for letting me share. And Lorraine, you're muted.